Well, it's lovely to be again in the house of the Lord for worship with the Lord's people. I read from Psalm 96, the opening verses. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He's to be feared above all gods. Now let us pray. Our Father, we bless thee that we have such a great, wonderful God, a God who doeth wonders. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the blessed Trinity. Lord, we pray, help us to praise thy holy name as we're met for worship this afternoon. We're met in Jesus' name and for his sake. And we pray, Jesus, stand among us in thy risen power. Let this time of worship be a hallowed hour. We met this morning, but we come now, our God, for a second blessing. As we fill the Lord's day with good things, we praise thee for this second opportunity for worship when so many churches have only one service these days. So, Lord, we pray, do us good, feed our souls. If any are here without Christ, may they come to know the Saviour. And, Lord, some of us battle with drowsiness and sleepiness, especially in an afternoon service. We pray, help us to be alert and attentive. Grant the grace of concentration. We pray for absent friends. There were some here this morning who'd love to be here this afternoon, but health keeps them away. And, Lord, undertake and bless Pastor Gareth and family in Belfast as they worship with other companies of thy people. Do them good. And bless gospel churches, near and far. Lord, we need thee so much in these days, and gospel churches are so thin on the ground, relatively speaking. Lord, cleanse us too from our sin at the outset of this service. Cover us with the precious blood of the Saviour. We thank that if we confess our sins, thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we commit the time into thy hands. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Our opening hymn, 504, Sovereign Grace or Sin Abounding.
Grace began to his name. changed and free. Say, while lost in holy wonder, why, O Lord, such love to me?
Come to our main Bible reading, Hosea chapter 14, the last chapter of Hosea. Some of these minor prophets are hard to find, but this morning we're in Ezekiel, and then next comes Daniel, and then next comes Hosea. Hosea chapter 14. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount war horses. We will never again say, our gods to what our own hands have made. For in you the fatherless find compassion. I will heal their waywardness. And there the authorized version has backsliding. I will heal their backsliding and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily. Like a cedar of Lebanon, he will send down his roots. His young shoots will grow. His splendor will be like an olive tree. His fragrance like a cedar of Lebanon. Men will dwell again in his shade. He will flourish like the grain. He will blossom like a vine. And his fame will be like the wine from Lebanon. O Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? I will answer him and care for him. I'm like a green pine tree. Your fruitfulness comes from me. Who is wise? He will realize these things. Who is discerning? He will understand them. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. Amen. Now once again, let us come before the throne of grace in prayer and avail ourselves of this great privilege that the Lord's people have. Let us pray. Our gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we do praise thee for thy precious word, inspired by the Holy Ghost through those holy men of old and preserved for us for today. Food for the soul of the believer. Some parts are hard to understand, our God, but it's still so precious to us. And each verse, Lord, has got hidden fuel cells in it so that memories can be revived a long time after it's been preached. Lord, thy word, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Praise thee, Lord, for thy precious word. May the Holy Ghost use it mightily in these days to bring about conviction of sin, leading to repentance and faith. Lord, we pray, speak to us through thy word this afternoon. Challenge us, stir us up, strengthen us in the faith. We have so much opposition against us today, the world, the flesh, the devil, and the whole climate and culture so opposed to evangelical Christianity and Bible teaching and the Ten Commandments, as Philip mentioned in his sermon this morning. Lord, we pray for our nation awaiting now a new prime minister. Lord, overrule in that matter. But we pray for our land, our God. Revive thy work, O Lord, thy mighty arm make bare. Speak with the voice that wakes the dead, and let thy people hear. Father, we pray for this land that's got such a great Christian heritage, but Now it's thrown on one side, forgotten. And the Ten Commandments are thrown aside. Evil is called good. Atheism is so popular. Despite us living in such a wonderful world, full of the beauties of creation. And some of us yesterday on the Stiper Stones were marvelling at the wonders of creation all around us. We have such a lovely, great God. But in our land, the masses are rushing headlong to hell. The devil has blinded them. Let it be known, we pray again in our country, there's a living God with whom we have to do. And there's a heaven and a hell and no in between. Lord, we pray, stir this nation to seek thee, as in days gone by. Lord, we think of the time of the Second World War when our nation was brought to its knees. And even the leaders of the nation called the nation to prayer, days of prayer. Lord, we pray for such again to happen. COVID hasn't driven people much to thee, but we know in thine armory thou hast so many weapons to use to bring a nation to its knees. Lord, work in our land in these days. Gather in a people for thyself. Save many souls. Lord, we pray for unsaved family members. Some of them have been prayed for years, and nothing seems to happen. We pray, bring them to saving faith. Restore backslidden ones. We pray for any connected with this church who are seeking thee. Lord, may they seek with all their hearts, not just half a heart. And may they truly trust the Saviour and experience sins forgiven and finding peace with God. Lord, we pray for the Ukraine again. We pray, Lord, work out thy purposes there. Lord, we bless thee. Though it's a mystery, but our God is still in control. God is still on the throne. Lord, we pray, work out thy purposes with the Ukraine and deal with Putin. Deal with the wickedness there, the evil there is. Lord, the devil is having a wild time. God, we pray, restrain him and bless believers in the Ukraine, lovely believers there, lovely believers in Russia too. Minister to them in these days. Now, Lord, as we come to the preaching of the word shortly, we pray, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Another hymn. 744, Begone Unbelief.
I smile at the storm.
can he have taught me to trust in his name, and thus far have brought me to put me to shame? Why should I complain of want or distress, temptation or pain? It holds me no less. The cares of salvation I know from his word. Through much tribulation must follow the Lord. Since all that I meet shall work for my good, the bitter is sweet, the medicine is good. The painful at present will cease before long, and then, oh, how pleasant that wondrous song.
Karen, has this fallen down? Right. I must have a sip of this. Whoops. Right, now we come to the Word of God. The late Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his pulpit prayers in Westminster Chapel in London, used to follow a similar form Sunday by Sunday. And one of his characteristic petitions was this: Lord, have mercy on the backslider. Lord, have mercy on the backslider. And at pastors' fraternals, he used to tell the story of a time when he was a pastor in South Wales, and he had a glorious convert. Glorious convert. It was the talk of the town. But after some time, this person left his wife and went deeply into sin, and again it was the talk of the town. An enemy of the gospel met Dr. Lloyd-Jones on the stairs of Bristol Temple Meads railway station and taunted him, "And what about your lovely convert now?" And the doctor's response was, "He will come back. He will come back." And years later, this person was in London. They were at a loose end on a Sunday night. And they thought, you just wander into Westminster Chapel and hear the doctor. And they arrived late, and he had to stand in the foyer because a prayer was going on. Stood in the foyer. And over the loudspeaker, as the doctor prayed, came the words, "Lord, have mercy on the backslider." And that was the means of his restoration there and then. It happened. Backsliding. Sometimes believers are caused to backslide through the faults of inconsistent church members, injured by a professed Christian. A number of years ago in the then Evangelical Magazine of Wales, there was a biographical article entitled "The Maid of Dolwerfach," Anne Griffiths, the Welsh hymn writer. She wrote myriads of hymns. Just one or two have been translated into English and are now hymn books. Anne Griffiths. Actually, she lived not too far away by Lake Fernwy. And there's an Anne Griffiths trail there if anyone wants to walk. It's 7 miles long. Anne Griffiths trail round Lake Fernwy there. But this godly woman, the article said, she became only too familiar with trials and tribulations in her life and experienced an early death. But she knew nothing of the bitterness of backsliding, though she feared it greatly. Anne Griffiths. Well, may the Lord give us all a healthy fear of backsliding. And let us never be sitting back thinking all in our spiritual garden is rosy. What a good boy am I. Nothing can ever go wrong with me. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before a fall, and a fall is backsliding. It's a case of there but for the grace of God go I. We keep on hearing of instances of backsliding. Lovely evangelicals once, but no longer attending church. Something went wrong. Something went wrong. Now, we believe in the perseverance of the saints. We know that backsliders are not lost. They're the Lord's people, but the Lord's backslidden people. And they're spoken of in our Bible reading in Hosea in chapter 14. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. Thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. And then God says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I love the writings of J.C. Ryle, one of the greatest evangelical Anglicans who ever lived. I'm reading his books all the time. First Bishop of Liverpool, J.C. Ryle. He writes about backsliding. He says, it's a miserable thing to be a backslider. Of all those unhappy things that can befall a man, I suppose it's the worst. A stranded ship, an eagle with a broken wing, a garden covered with weeds, a harp without strings, a church in ruins. All these are sad sights, but a backslider is a sadder sight still. That's Ryle. Now, let's begin. What is backsliding? What is it? Well, it's a sliding back from something. It's a sliding back from what I was as a Christian. It's a sliding back in my behaviour as a Christian, letting things slip. It's a reversion to sin and worldly ways after conversion. A return to old habits after spiritual reformation. Obviously, there are big backslidings and there are little backslidings. Only the big ones hit the headlines. But all the big ones start with tiny little ones. They don't happen overnight. Look at it this way. What is the opposite of backsliding? The opposite is making spiritual progress. I say, make no mistake about it. If we're not growing in grace, we're backsliding. There's no such thing as standing still in the Christian life. That's a spiritual law. When we're going more backwards than forwards over a period, that's backsliding. Every time we sin, in thought or word or deed, it's backsliding in a sense. But we normally reserve the term for a more persistent going back and major falls. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Now, some Bible examples of backsliding and the usage of this term. Backsliding, the word, comes 18 times in the Bible, all in the Authorized Version, all in the Old Testament. 14 cases in Jeremiah, 3 in Hosea, 1 in Proverbs. Backsliding. And it carries a sense of going back to the old life of sin and idolatry. Sometimes as complete apostasy, sometimes as simple backsliding. Now, some examples of backsliding. We turn to Jeremiah chapter 3. There are some references there. Jeremiah 3 at verse 6. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She's gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. That verse came alive to me when I was a missionary in the Bolivian Andes of South America. Up on the great plateau called the Altiplano, it's 12,000 feet up, 200 miles long, 50 miles wide, the Altiplano. There are lots of little mountain peaks sticking up out of the Altiplano. And unbelievably, going up some of these, everyone had got an altar on the top where llamas and sheep and other animals were staying. Every hill and every green tree, these altars underneath where they sacrificed to Pachamama, their false gods, the sun and the moon and the stars and so on. And this is the sort of thing that was going on in Israel. Every high mountain under every green tree, there she played the harlot. Verse 7, and I said after she'd done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw, when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I put her away and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister, Judah, feared not, but went and played the harlot also. Verse 11, the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. 14. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. There's backsliding there. Then Hosea 4:16 says, Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now, this is not a picture of a cattle truck with the ramp down at Welsh Pool Market, all slithering and sliding. Rather, as the NIV puts it, the Israelites are stubborn like a stubborn heifer. Stubborn. Backsliders can be very stubborn. Another reference to backsliding. Hosea 11:7. And my people are bent to backsliding. The NIV puts it. Determined to turn from me. Determined to turn from me. One or two of the backsliders of the Old Testament. David. King David. Philip mentioned him this morning. 2 Samuel 11, adultery, murder, his restoration about a year later. We had a lecturer, an Old Testament lecturer in London Bible College many years ago, and he constantly was saying, remember that King David fell. Remember that King David fell. Backsliding. Solomon, 1 Kings 11, 4-9, his idolatrous wife turned his heart away from the Lord. Rehoboam, Solomon's son, 2 Chronicles 12, 1, when he was established as king, he abandoned the law of the Lord. Coming to the New Testament, the actual word backsliding isn't used. And yet there are plenty of examples of the phenomenon of backsliding in the New Testament. It's foretold, it's prophesied in Matthew 24. Matthew 24, and I'm turning to verses 10 and 12. Jesus prophesied, and then many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Backsliding. The love of many, their believers, shall wax cold. Backsliding. Another example of backsliding, Matthew 26, 56, at Gethsemane, all the disciples forsook Jesus and fled. Backsliding. There's Peter's denial in Matthew 26. And it says that when he denied the Lord, it says, it really does say in the Bible, he cursed and he swore. And you know, even believers who are backslidden can get to that state where they start swearing. It does happen. Backsliding there. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 is the classic example of the backslider in the New Testament. This church member at Corinth. He'd fallen into the terrible sin of incest, a young man having sexual relations with his own mother. It seems that 2 Corinthians speaks of this same person, and he'd repented now. And Paul urges the full restoration of his privileges. Another reference to backsliding in the New Testament. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The overtaken saint is the backslider in the New Testament. And then we've got the case of Demas, 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, says Paul. His fellow worker forsaken him. Now, was that backsliding or was that apostasy? I don't know. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. If any man love the world, the love of the Father's not in him. That's a description of backsliding. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. The church at Ephesus. The Lord says, nevertheless, I've somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. That's backsliding, losing the first love. There's the lukewarm Laodicean church, Revelation 3. That's backsliding. Right, okay, we move on. The difference now between backsliding and apostasy. The difference between them. Both go back from their professions. They've both fallen away from something. From what? The apostate has fallen away from doctrine, from Bible truth. The backslider has fallen away from the practice of doctrine, behavior. The apostate goes back on what he believes. The backslider goes back in behavior. The backslider slips away from it. The apostate adulterates it. The prodigal son, he was a backslider. Whereas Israel was apostate, having other gods besides. They'd gone back in belief. The backslider denies what he really is. The apostate returns to what he really is. There's a difference in attitudes often. The apostate says, I totally reject. Once a believer, but now with doctrine, I totally reject. The backslider gradually, almost unwittingly, slips away. With the apostate, it's not a temporary denial like Peter's, but a more permanent denial. As in Jesus' words, if we deny him, he also will deny us, and that means being lost. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 says, but if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, they're again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Now both the apostate and the backslider initially have escaped the pollutions of the world. Both have adopted the behavior pattern of Christians. There's little difference in outward behavior initially. But the apostate is like the sow that's washed and then returns to the mire and the muck. It's a case of externals as compared with internals. The apostate's heart has never been touched and regenerated. The difficult passage of Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 4 to 6. Some will be quite familiar with this or puzzled over it. Hebrews 6. verse 4. It's impossible for those who once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. This difficult passage. Now, it seems the key to the interpretation of this is to distinguish between those who see the glory of God and those who love the glory of God. Those who merely see the glory of God here are not saved. Those who love the glory of God are saved. In this way, when Jesus was on earth, thousands saw his miracles. Thousands saw his miracles. Healing people instantaneously. Jesus, the great orthopedic doctor, ear, nose and throat doctor, he was a consultant in every department. Instantaneous healing. And myriads of people saw this happen. But those who saw could be divided into two kinds. There were those who merely saw the miracle, and those who both saw and loved the miracle and loved the Christ, the worker of the miracle. To see the glory of God is not enough. A person must love the glory of God. And it seems that Hebrews chapter 6 speaks of those who are merely illuminated and not regenerated. They see the glory of God, but they're not regenerated. Now, apostasy is falling away from a state of illumination. It has parallels in the parable of the sower, the rocky ground, the thorny ground. These people were never saved in the first place. Whereas backsliding is falling while in a state of regeneration. There's plenty on apostasy in the New Testament. There's plenty on backsliding in the New Testament. Hebrews was written to warn against apostasy. 1 Corinthians was written to warn against backsliding. Carnality is backsliding. 1 John 2 verse 19 says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. Apostasy. Judas was an apostate. Now, the problem often arises in church life and in pastoral work of discerning between the two. Is he or she an apostate or is he or she a backslider? How do you know the difference? Well, let's have a go. For example, he made a profession 20 years ago, but he's nowhere today. Now he wants to get right with God. Is it a restoration from backsliding, or was he never saved in the first place? There are two main tests I know of. One's more subjective than the other. The subjective test is to ask the person, have you basically been happy during these 10 years of so-called backsliding? Have you basically been happy over these years, over this period? Because the Lord's true people are essentially unhappy and miserable whilst backsliding. But those never converted in the first place are the same basically before their spurious conversion as afterwards. They're carefree, not taking life seriously, happy-go-lucky. Or put it this way, the backslider, though he commits sin, doesn't enjoy it now as he used to. Or the apostate, he goes back to his natural element and with a sense of relief at being back in his element. He's no longer a hypocrite, pretending to be a Christian. The backslider's unhappy, miserable in that situation because he's not in his element, because he's trying to be something he isn't. So in this subjective test, the Christian helper, the Christian worker is trying to find out, is he in his element or is she in her element now? But then the other test. Is he or she denying the doctrine they once held? We put questions to them about their belief. If he or she once believed in the deity of Christ and the bodily resurrection of Christ, they don't any longer. That's a test. If he still holds on to the doctrine, though he's lapsed into being a drunkard perhaps, he's still a brother in Christ. Galatians 6:1, I've mentioned it, that refers to such. Restore such an one. He's fallen in practice. There's no departure from the faith. And a child of God can fall so low in conduct and behavior and practice, but he will not deny the essential elements of the faith. As a proof, there were fornicators, drunks in the Corinthian church, and yet they're addressed by the Apostle Paul as brothers. There are other tests too. The backslider is forever making excuses for not living an obedient life. A spiritual mind belongs to all true believers and must reveal itself sooner or later. And Dr. Lloyd-Jones insisted the backslider returns sooner or later. Just summarizing the symptoms of a backsliding person. They're unhappy, they've lost their joy and the fruits of the Spirit. They're living with a guilty conscience. 10 years, 20 years living with a guilty conscience. Having a mind sick of itself, having a memory full of self-reproach. A heart pierced through with the Lord's arrows. A spirit broken with a load of inward accusations. Sad, miserable. Now, we must be careful here not to confuse the terrible illness of mental depression with backsliding. Depression of that medical kind normally needs sympathy and understanding and kindness, not rebuke. I just mentioned some of the causes of backsliding. Backsliding is caused by slack abiding. Jesus said, "Abide in me." Backsliding is caused by a neglect of daily quiet times. 7 prayerless days make 1 week. Not keeping short accounts with the Lord. Here's a J.C. Ryle book, A Call to Prayer. He says, backsliding generally first begins with a neglect of private prayer. And he says, Bibles read without prayer, sermons heard without prayer, marriages contracted without prayer, journeys undertaken without prayer, residences chosen without prayer, friendships formed without prayer, the daily act of private prayer itself hurried over or gone through without heart. These are the kind of downward steps by which many a Christian descends to a condition of spiritual palsy or reaches the point where God allows him to have a tremendous fall. This is the process which forms the lingering Lots, the unstable Samsons, the wife-idolizing Solomons, the inconsistent Asas, the pliable Jehoshaphats, the overcareful Marthas, of whom so many are to be found in the Church of Christ. Often the simple history of such cases is this: they became careless about private prayer, and then they backslid. You may be very sure, says Ryle, men fall in private long before they fall in public. They're backsliders on their knees long before they backslide openly in the eyes of the world. Causes of backsliding. Being taken up with the cares of the world, giving them too high a priority. Backsliding caused by improper associations, improper connections, privately or in business. That unequal yoke in marriage, marrying outside of Christ, marrying an unbeliever. Laziness, slothfulness in life, a cause of backsliding. Here's an amazing tract. Here you are. How to be a successful backslider. How to be a successful backslider. Derek Swan. How to be a successful... What a thing to write a tract on. And it says, the golden rule of backsliding is a little at a time. Backsliding cannot be achieved overnight. It takes time and effort to be a really successful backslider. Most people make the mistake of believing that some great sin will start them on the road to successful backsliding. But this is a grievous error. When we hear of Christians falling into some disastrous sin, it's more likely to be the result of steady backsliding than the cause of it. When Christians fall, you can be assured there's been some steady decaying or serious crumbling somewhere. Some of the causes of backsliding. And the remedy, the cure. What solution does God offer backsliders? Well, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Revelation 2, verse 5, repent and do the first works. Repent and do the first works. And Hosea again, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Well, may God give us all a healthy, holy fear of backsliding. Remember that King David fell. Amen. Our concluding hymn, 397, Come, let us to the Lord our God with contrite hearts return. 397.
Come, let us to the Lord our God with contrite hearts return. Our God is gracious, nor will leave the desolate to mourn. His voice commands the tempest forth and stills the stormy wave. In his sight. Our hearts, if God we seek to know, shall know him and rejoice. His coming like the morn shall be, like morning songs his voice. As drew upon diffusing fragrance round, as showers that usher in the spring and cheer the thirsty ground, so shall his presence bless our souls and shed a joyful light, that hallowed morn shall chase away the sorrows of the night.
A prayer. So, Lord, we pray, give us all a healthy fear of backsliding. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.